Standard geographic charges from landlines and mobiles will apply. Or you can write a cheque and make it payable to DEC Pakistan Floods Appeal and post it to PO Box 999, London EC 3A 3AA. Thank you.
That was Claire Balding on behalf of the DEC Pakistan Floods Appeal. You can find all those details online at dec.org.uk.
Faith?
I'm going to London tomorrow to see if the girl Merlin's nurse found is the baby Eunice.
Hope?
Stop making promises you cannot keep.
And Gloria.
This is not your place to take advantage of our friendship that way.
Intimate, interwoven stories that chart the emergence of modern Britain.
I want to hold your hand.
We are in the middle of Piccadilly Circus. Someone will see.
I don't care.
Our century-spanning drama continues in 1963.
It's going to snow again later.
Snow, not damn snow.
The new series of Faith, Hope and Glory on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. Next Tuesday to Thursday afternoon at 2:15.
Now on Radio 4, Russell Cain showcases all of the best newcomer nominees from this year's Edinburgh Comedy Awards, including the winner, Laura Rakote.
For three long years, the world has been in darkness. Since 2019, there have been no Edinburgh Comedy Awards. But now, they're back, and audiences finally have the chance to laugh again. People of the Fringe, who's ready to hear the cream of the 2022 crop? Put your hands together for the Edinburgh Comedy Award nominee gala 2022!
Yes, 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 I'm Russell Cain, and we are very excited to be recording this gala for BBC Radio 4, the home of audio comedy. This is your front row seat for the best and hottest comedians, as chosen by the people in the know and the critic from The Times. Dave's Edinburgh Comedy Awards have been out of action for the last 3 years, but now not only are they back, they're celebrating their 40th birthday. I know. Over the years, there have been some great winners. We've had Frank Skinner, Steve Coogan, Jenny Eclair, Al Murray, Rose Matafeo, and me, Nick Grimshaw. Who'd have thought it? Do you know how many times a day that genuinely happens to me? Even, I was playing the Hammersmith Apollo, and I went outside. You know, just so I go to, like, perv on the audience that are arriving to try and judge the atmosphere. And someone actually said to me, Nick, are you going to watch Russell tonight? That was a low moment. I won it in 2010, and honestly, this award really does open doors. The one it opened for me is my downstairs loo, where it still sits as a doorstop to this day. Tonight on Radio 4, we are bringing you just a small taste of this year's nominees. If comedy is a meal, this is the ultimate smorgasbord of tasty treats. It's like a tapas meal of comedy, but this time, you can't embarrassingly overorder and then waste it. You're gonna eat it, and you're gonna love it. These acts have been in Edinburgh for the whole month of August, which explains their vitamin D deficiency and emotional states. They've been performing their shows night after night, grinding away, honing and polishing. And they've been selected from over 600 comedy shows at the Fringe this year. These lucky few have been recognised by the awards panel as the best of 2022. We're so pleased to have them here today to perform a snippet of what got the panel so excited it was like someone threw a Viagra in a Red Bull and then downed it. In this show, you're going to hear all the nominees of the Best Newcomer Award. Everyone in this category has written and performed an hour-long show at the Edinburgh Fringe for the very first time. And we're going to hear a tiny taster of why they've been nominated. Are you ready for the future of British comedy? Yeah. That's bloody convenient, because nominated for their show, Translations, please welcome Vittorio Angeloni. Yeah.
All of this will make sense on radio. I'm a very boring performer. I'm from Belfast, that's what this noise is. But I am called Vittorio Angeloni. So I come from an immigrant background, I'm half Italian. That gets a round of applause in London. I do, my family had to move away from Italy during World War II to get away from all the bombs and violence. So they moved to Belfast. Good work, team. Out of the frying pan, into the IRA. All right. No, I don't mind English people, mostly. My girlfriend's English, so I hate her. No, look, see, when she's there, I love her. I think she's the best person in the world, right? But when she's not there, the concept of her, I hate her, because all couples have little arguments, right? A classic one is you took up more than half the bed. But I feel like an English-Irish relationship is the only one where she takes up more than half the bed and I call her a colonial bastard. We moved in together recently, and since we moved in, she keeps calling everything ours instead of mine and hers. I'm like, you've stolen enough from my people. It's getting out of hand. I was walking to work recently and I found £30 in cash on the street. I was like, this is the best day of my whole life. Right, so I phoned her up. I like sharing nice moments. I said, I found £30 on the street. She was like, that's amazing. We can go for dinner tonight. We? I'm moving to Mexico. Like, I don't know what you think's happening. But I go out quite late in the evenings to do gigs and stuff. So I get into the house quite late. So I don't have time to cook or anything. So I'll just pick up chicken and chips on the way home, right? And I'll sit down in the kitchen to eat my chicken and chips. Problem is, she thinks everything's ours. She just comes in. She's like, how was the gig? And just takes a chip. And have you heard of generational trauma? It's when something that happened to your ancestors affects you today. So when you steal potatoes from an Irish person, we freak out. Listen, that'll do. I've been Vittorio. I'll see you later on. Bye.
Vittorio Angeloni. Nominated for their show, Fixed. Please welcome Emily Wilson.
Hello. Thank you guys so much for being here. I am so grateful to be nominated. My name is Emily Wilson. A little bit about me. I'm from New Jersey, just outside of New York. I'm Jewish. I'm bisexual. I'm 15 years old. No, I'm not 15. Sorry to all the perverts. I'm 26, but when I was 15, I was on The X Factor. It was insane, amazing, and awful. And I truly could not talk about it until writing this show, Fixed. That's how much it affected me. And I signed an NDA. No, but it did impact me, and I will give you guys a little bit of a taste of how. So for some backstory, growing up, like every other kid in the 90s, all I ever wanted was to be famous. And more specifically, a famous singer. So I made this little YouTube channel with my best friend. His name was Austin. And we sang together as a duet. And we called ourselves Awesome. Yeah, you know, because his name's Oz, right? My name's M. So together, we were gay. He was gay. He was gay and he was very closeted. And I was very in love with him. Yes, yes, that. You're sharp, that's good. I was in love with Austin. So cut to spring of 2011, we are auditioning for The X Factor. And at the audition, we sing Jar of Hearts by Christina Perry. Who do you think you are? And we finish the song and I am feeling euphoric. And the first judge to give us feedback is Simon Cowell. And this is what he says.
I think the audience you are aiming at will understand you perfectly. That's why you have such support. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, not bad for a girl from New Jersey, right? So that was great. But then, the next judge was Justin Bieber's producer, L.A. Reid. And this is what he said.
Austin, I think you're a star. And no disrespect, but I'm not convinced of the duo. But because I believe you're a star, I'm gonna say yes.
He didn't really like me. So the next judge was Nicole Scherzinger. She looks at us, her and I lock eyes. And you know when you just know that you're looking directly into the eyes of a bully? Yeah, so that's what I felt. And this is what she said.
I'm sorry for awesome. No, but I believe in you, Austin.
Yeah. So at this point, my dad, who's backstage, goes, "What are they doing to my daughter? That's not fair!" Which made it into the TV cut. Here's proof.
What are they doing to my daughter? That's not fair!
I mean, literally! But so you guys can see and hear the rest of the story at my show. We did wind up making it to the finals. It's a crazy story. Thank you so much for this nomination. My name's Emily Wilson. Thank you.
Okay, overachiever alert. The next act is nominated in both categories. Her comedy duo, Delightful Sausage, is nominated for Best Show and can't be here right now. The amount of times I've had to announce that Delightful Sausage can't perform after too many Merlots. Anyway, I get distracted. She has also been nominated for Best Newcomer. So, nominated for their show, The Girl Before the Girl You Marry, please welcome Amy Gledhill.
Me. Sorry about the sausage. My name's Amy Christine Stella Gledhill. Yeah, she's got two middle names. Is she a bit fancy? Or is she trash? Thank you for all just saying the same word in your head. Yeah. So it's Amy Christine Stella Gledhill. My mum chose Christine after her own name, Christine. Christine, think of a name. Christine, yes, no messing about. And my dad chose Stella, genuinely, because it's his favourite lager. One small middle name, one huge insight into my upbringing. I'm really glad he's a lager man and not an ale man. Could have been worse, couldn't it? Imagine me skipping around the playground as a six-year-old as my dad looks on wistfully. There she goes, my princess, Amy Christine Old Peculiar Gledhill. There she goes. I'm from a little place I like to call York. But I shouldn't, because it is pronounced Hull. If you're not familiar with the Hull accent, it's really distinctive for two reasons. One, it's very sexy. Hello, is this? Hello. And two, we only use one vowel sound. So you're walking around with your A's, E's, I's, O's and U's. You don't need them. You just mush them all together and come up with To put that into a sentence. No. I don't know where to go. There's loads and loads of roads, and I don't know the postcode. Sorry if that's a bit too sexy. I don't live in Hull anymore. I moved to London in lockdown. Mad. I just thought, right, my income's gone. Why not treble my outgoings and halve my indoor space? I had a gut feeling that I should do it. And I've realised, in hindsight, the gut feeling was probably anxiety-induced IBS, but I followed it now to Finsbury Park. Very happy, and I don't mean to show off, but we've got a concierge. Thanks. I didn't know what one was when I moved in, and if you don't know, it's really simple. A concierge is just a man who watches football on his phone and lets absolutely anybody in and out of the building, and it's brilliant, and you pay extra for that. You should get one. Thank you so much for having me. I've been Amy Gledhill. Bye bye.
Amy Gledhill, nominated for their show, Waste of Space. Please welcome Josh Jones.
Hello, lovely to be here. So I'm a camp gay man, which is amazing because you get away with absolute murder. Straight people, you've let camp gay men get away with too much now. You need to rein us in a bit. It's getting out of control. If you've ever worked in an office, you would have seen it. A camp gay guy will say something to his colleague at work and she'll be like, oh, he's so funny and sassy. He's just so funny and sassy. No, Carol, he's just called you a fat bitch. I'm single and I'm looking for my soulmate. I do believe in soulmates. I think there's someone out there who's perfect for me and I'll be perfect for him. And one day we're going to meet and we're going to shrink old together, because you do shrink old. You don't grow old. I think it's creepy when people say grow old together, because I'm a fully grown man. If I get in a relationship with someone who's still growing, then that little boy's going to get me in a lot of trouble. Yeah, that was a pedo joke. But I'm out there looking for me soulmate. And so I wanted to get dead, dead sexy. That was my game plan. One of the main things I wanted to do to get really sexy is I wanted to quit smoking, because that's not seen as sexy anymore, is it? So I read this book that helps you quit smoking. But I'm dyslexic, so now I do heroin. Oh, nightmare. But yeah, I'm out there. And there are some men that are interested in me. Let me tell you, me and another comedian who's gay, a lot of our followings online are gay men. And we was exchanging the messages that these men send us online. The other comedian is dead muscular and tanned. So he's getting little cuties with six packs, being like, oh, come have sex with me. One night of freedom. Woo. The guys that message me definitely want to wear me skin. It's... It's intense. But no, I was dating someone for 5 weeks. It was going very well. And I thought, right, I've seen loads of period dramas. So when you like a bloke, you've got to like woo him. Do you know what I mean? So I phoned him. I was like, right, tomorrow I'm going to woo you. Prepare yourself. You're getting wooed, mate. So the next day I took him to the London Dungeons, because no, I'd been before. So I knew where all the scary bits were, but he's never been. So I could prepare myself not to be scared and be like the manly one. Do you know the one who's like, don't worry, baby. I could be that guy. I'm never that guy. So anyway, but what I didn't tell you is that when we went to the London Dungeons for the first time, when I went on my own, it was COVID, so only half the scenes were open. But when I went with him, like, everything was fully open and stuff was happening I hadn't seen before. We walked into a room, they turned the lights off, they turned them back on, there was a witch screaming in my face. I cried and ripped a hole in his shirt. So, not great. I've got a very specific type of man that I'm attracted to. Like, you look quite broad and strong, and I think that's disgusting. I love a skinny little dweeb. Oh, I love a malnourished little nerd. The main reason I like dating skinny little geeks, not that I would ever do this, but I just know if I had to, I could bloody knock him out, right? Too much for 11 o'clock in the morning in Edinburgh? Well, that's what I'm ending on. Good to see ya. I haven't got a clue why yous are here, but nice to see ya. Bye.
Josh Jones, and I just love being his skinny little dweeb. It does sting, though. He's got quite a strong right hook. I'm stood in a toilet with Leo Reich. Hi, Leo.
Hi.
Now, how did or how will you celebrate getting nominated?
I celebrated by doing George Michael's Faith at karaoke at 4 a.m. last night. And guess what? The audience loved it. They didn't. It was terrible. I forgot all the words. But here I am.
You sing in your show. What came first for you, the singing or the stand-up or writing? As it probably wouldn't be stand-up, I guess.
What came first, singing, writing or stand-up? I guess probably singing. I always liked singing as a kid, but properly writing. I did writing before I did anything else on stage properly.
So in your show, Leo, you read from a film adaptation of your diary. In an ideal world, who do you think would play you in that film?
Oh my god, me? Because no one else could get my mannerisms. No, I think I have sort of a spitting image of Kate Blanchett. So I've always thought that she would be a great choice.
How does it feel to be nominated for the best newcomer after 3 years of no awards?
It feels amazing. It's so nice. My god, it's been such a big run up, and I'm so thrilled and excited.
You wear great makeup and outfits when you perform.
Thank you.
How would you style me?
I think that I would go with a bold lip and then nothing else. Just a totally no makeup and then a bold, bold lip, like a very dark, bold lip.
I don't know how to take that. I think it's a compliment. Yeah, thanks.
I think you look gorgeous in that, Russell. I think you look stunning. I think that people would drop to their knees.
For anyone who doesn't know you, how would you describe your comedy style?
Aggressive, alienating, strange, kind of anxiety inducing, but funny, funny, funny. Cut that out, cut that out.
Now I'm absolutely buzzing like my wife's toy drawer to bring on this next act. I absolutely love him. Nominated for their show, Emancipated, please welcome Emmanuel Sunubi.
All right. I'm very, very happy to be up in Edinburgh this year. This is my year, my debut year. I came up here in 2019 and I'm from North London. You come to Edinburgh, there's so many nice things you see that you can't see in London. Even like this year, first thing I saw was this woman running. Like for fun. There was no one chasing her or anything. She was just running. She was one of those competitive runners. I could tell because when I started running after her, she. I've loved doing the show and I've got to speak to a lot of people after it as well. And people ask me questions about the show. And one of the big things they ask is, what do my tattoos mean? And they're for my five older sisters. I grew up with five older sisters. And just to put that in context, Radio, I'm 6'2", and I'm not the biggest in my family. That was trauma. Like, it's different, because with brothers, it's very different. It'll be physical. With sisters, it's psychological. They were horrible. They used to suck me in with something nice. They go, do you want to know a secret? I go, yeah, like, who doesn't? Like, if you start a conversation with me now like that, I'm listening. And they said, do you want to know a secret? I said, yeah. They said, we found you on the doorstep when you were a baby. And then mum decided to keep you. I was six. That's the thing, I knew it wasn't true. I knew in my heart that they were lying, but there were so many of them saying the same thing that it starts to sound true. And they'd have proof as well, which now makes no sense, but as a six-year-old, made all the sense, because they'd say, we found you on the doorstep when you were a baby and mum decided to keep you. And I was like, no, you didn't, you're lying. And they said, well, then how comes you're the only boy? That was my entire childhood, literally my sisters just making stuff up and then using their overwhelming numbers to make it sound like it was true. Oh, I was 17 when I gave up waiting for my period. It has been truly wonderful to be up here this year and be nominated as well. So thank you guys for coming to watch. My name is Emmanuel Sunubi. Good night.
Since we recorded our gala last week, the winner of the Best Newcomer at the Edinburgh Comedy Award has been crowned. I hope they're still out partying and haven't left the award in one of the TVET's turrets. And just for you, here they are now.
Okay, nominated for their show, Girl Latinx Deaf, please welcome Lara Ricote.
Hey, what's going on? How we doing, we good? Yeah, good. Morning, baby. Cool. I'm Lara. Thanks for being here. I am originally from Mexico. Actually, my mom is the Mexican one. My dad's an anti-vaxxer, so that's different. Something else. He used to be Venezuelan, now being anti-vaxxed 100% of his identity. The only thing he mentioned, he's not a 5G anti-vaxxer, which we all love and appreciate. He's more of like a granola anti-vaxxer. Do we know the term? Like, he eats very healthy. That's basically it. He's like a little baby bird. Lots of fruits, lots of nuts, and my mom chews them up and puts them in his mouth for him. That's how my dad eats. No, it's mostly just coconut oil. That's what it is. It's coconut. He puts it on his body. He like moisturizes with coconut oil. Also on his hair. He eats it by the spoonful. That's not right. But he does do like hairdos with coconut oil. And I just went home. I realized if I kiss my dad on the forehead before leaving home, he'll moisturize my lip for the whole day. I am hard of hearing in my ears. I don't need to specify where. People do ask me, hey, Lana. Lala, where is it that you can't hear? And it's in the ears, mostly. That's where it manifests, that's where it's been happening. I wear hearing aids in my ears. My parents actually gave them to me for my birthday. And that, I think, is not right. I think it's wrong. I feel like if you had the hearing aids before, don't wait. Hand them over as soon as you got them. The moment you purchase the hearing aid, give them to me. Don't wait till my birthday. Wait, they give me the gift of hearing? What is that about? They got them in May and they gave them to me and say it with me December. I know, it's offensive, it's terrible. They're very good hearing aids though, so I can't even complain. They have Bluetooth. Yeah, I swear, I can listen to podcasts as I'm talking to people. Yeah, it's every modern woman's dream. I'm doing it right now. The only time I won't wear my hearing aids is during sex. I won't, trial and error, and I've learned. And I know that like sex is like where whispers go to thrive, but I have just completely come to terms with the idea like if you're gonna whisper something, I don't need to hear it. I don't know. I feel like it's not for me, you know? I feel like if we're having sex and you're like, oh, I really gotta tell her something, write it down. I'm fine with that. I don't wear my hearing aids during sex because if you've ever gotten close to a person with a hearing aid, you'll notice that they do this like high-pitched feedback noise. It's very sensual. It's like a and that goes on during the entire sex. I only have sex hugging like this. That's how I have sex. That goes on during the entire sex session. So I have to think about that and I have to compensate by making my orgasm like as bass as possible. So I have to orgasm like, and nobody likes that. You guys were wonderful. I would let a bye. Thank you.
Lara Ricote. We've reached the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and of course to all of the acts performing, and congratulations again to each and every one of them. This has been the Edinburgh Comedy Awards nominee gala 2022, hosted by me, Russell Kane. Good night. The Edinburgh Comedy Awards nominee gala 2022 was hosted by me, Russell Kane. The acts you heard perform were Amy Gledhill, Emily Wilson, Emmanuel Sanubi, Josh Jones, Lara Ricote, Leo Reich, and Vittorio Angeloni.